Now's the Time, episode 63. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, do you tell the truth? I hope you tell the truth. Today we are going to talk about the truth. Actually, we're going to talk about a book called Tell the Truth. It is probably, simply put, one of the best books on evangelism I have ever read. It is both practical and doctrinally very well balanced, and I just recommend it to you. And I recommend it to you because I read it. Not a new book, actually. It's been republished a couple of times, but I had a chance to talk with the author, Will Metzger, just a couple of weeks ago. And what a nice guy. What a nice guy. And not just a nice guy, but this guy is somebody that has 50 plus years in ministry, in student ministry, in evangelism experience. And you know, I always think that somebody like that is just such a wealth of experience and wisdom to mine and to listen to. And so we're going to be talking about the book today. I just want a couple other words about the book. The book is actually recommended also by people like John MacArthur and John Piper. And so I really, really do think that it will be something. I mean, it's going to be something that's going to be on my shelf for a while. I don't have a physical copy of it. I only have it in Kindle, but because it's also sort of like a reference tool for evangelism. So anyway, enough said about the book right now. We'll get into that in just a minute. A couple of things I want to get out of the way that I want to talk about before we get into the interview. Just a couple updates. First of all, if you didn't notice it, I did publish on the blog a little while ago an update about the church in Krasny Luch that was visited by the authorities there. Go to the show notes, sukfamily.org/63. Read that. Please pray for these churches. It just seems like some of the pressure from the government is stepping up in eastern Ukraine. And also just recently, about a week and a half ago, I sent out a note asking to pray for Pastor Taras Sin, who had been abducted, and he was returned, but I think he definitely came back with some scars from that, and he still needs your prayers and his family. And then also, I want to pray for the church in eastern Ukraine, first prayer request. Second prayer request, pray for our online survey class. Right now, we have a good group of students going through our online survey class. First time we're doing this online. We have students from different countries, from Israel and Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan and Belarus and Ukraine and Russia, of course, and Moldova. And so pray for us as we continue in that. By the way, if you do check out the show notes, there's a little link there, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're doing with these online classes, because I really believe this is one of the biggest opportunities that we have to be able to serve churches, Russian-speaking churches, not only in Ukraine, but around the world, and would love to have you be part of that as well. So that is a second prayer request. Pray for our Old Testament survey class online that is going on right as we speak, as I speak anyway. I don't know when you're listening to this, but it's going on right now. And then also want to ask you to pray for our CMI conference. Our Church Ministries Institute conference starts, actually, I leave tomorrow. So probably by the time you're hearing this, I'm out of Odessa. I'm leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning. We're going up to Kyiv. Conference will be there on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's the 14th, 15th, and 16th of October. Please pray all those days. I'm going to be speaking for a couple of sessions up there. Going to be speaking our theme of the conference. And this is where we get all of our Bible school directors and teachers and everybody together once a year. The theme of the conference is administration. And it is a very good theme, and so I'm going to be speaking on how to be a good administrator, how to administrate your time, your resources, and your people for God's glory. So really appreciate your prayers for myself and for our institute staff as we put that Bible conference together. Okay, check out the show notes, sukafamily.org/63. You can find these prayer requests there. Please share them with your church, with your small group, whatever. We really do appreciate that, and we appreciate your prayers. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about this interview. I talked with Will Metzger, who's the author of this book, To Tell the Truth, or Tell the Truth. This book has been republished 4 times, and there's a good reason for that, because it is a resource that really needs to be, I think, in pretty much every church. Unfortunately, we don't have it in the Russian language yet, and I even want to see if I can do something about that so we can get it in the Russian language. Now, I'm going to play the interview with Will Metzger, and I just want to tell you that at the beginning, I explained a little bit to him about who I am, what we do here in Ukraine. He was very interested in our ministry. And I think I'll probably just leave that in, because that might be something, you might learn something a little bit new about our ministry as well. So I'll just probably leave that in. And then at the end, he also just takes some time and prays for us, which was really, really neat. So enjoy the interview, and I'm not going to come back and close at the end, so I'll just leave it at that. All right, friends, blessings.
Yes, hello.
Hi, is this Will Metzger?
Yes, is this Caleb?
Yes, this is Caleb. How are you?
I'm pretty well, Caleb. I'm glad that you're interested in talking about the gospel.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm glad that you got the information. And so I hope you have a few minutes just to talk with me a little bit about your book.
Yes, certainly.
So I'll just give you a real brief kind of background on myself so you kind of know who you're talking to.
I'm glad. I was going to ask that myself. Go ahead.
Okay. So my name is Caleb, and I'm a missionary in Odessa, Ukraine, with ABWE, which is Association of Baptists for World Evangelism.
Yes,
and
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, and so we've been here for 8 years, and I work with, we work with the church here. I'm one of the pastors of the church, but more of my ministry is actually focused on, we have a institute for training church leaders. It's called the Church Ministries Institute. I am the director of our online program. We have an online program that we teach theology online in Russian language. And so we have about 30 students, 35 students right now that are studying from like 8 or 9 different countries in Russian online with us.
Oh, wonderful.
And then the other thing is we also do something that we call it Good Soil Ministries, and it's really focused on evangelism. And we do seminars in churches. So we've done them in Ukraine, Moldova, Russia, and in a couple other countries, actually. And the seminars focus on 2 things. One is trying to understand the worldview of whoever you're witnessing to, whoever you're sharing the gospel to, so that you can communicate the gospel to them in a way that they can understand. And the other thing is we also focus on giving them tools that help them communicate the gospel in a more chronological way. So we do we have some tools that help them communicate the gospel in a biblical chronology, Genesis through Revelation. So that's kind of my main ministries here. So obviously I'm interested in evangelism, and so I'm always trying to pick up books and things on evangelism, so I got your book just recently, and I know it's not a new book. It was originally, when was it published? In
1981.
But it was republished fairly recently, just a couple of years ago, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, there's been 4 editions of it. I only have 1 book to my credit. I just keep revising it on some days as I learn more things.
So yeah, so I have I just buy electronic books here because I can't wait for them to be shipped halfway across the world. So I picked it up on Kindle, reading through it. I was like, wow, this is A lot of the stuff that actually we teach in the Good Soil seminars corresponds to much of your stuff in the book. Unfortunately, I don't think, well, and you can tell me, you should probably know, but I don't think your book is in Russian, is it?
No, not that I know of. It's in a couple of, some other languages. It's in Spanish. It's in Korean. It's in Indonesian. But I don't think we've gotten into the Russian market yet.
Okay. Yeah, because it is definitely a resource that I think we'd love to have in the Russian language. But let me have you start maybe and just share with us a little bit about how you got into before you wrote the book, what was your experience with sharing the gospel? How did that happen in your life?
Well, I came to know the Lord while I was in high school, secular high school, public high school here in the United States. And the only styles or examples, I'll put it this way, of evangelism I saw were either kind of in your face, sort of direct, and or just all friendship, but you never got it. You would only bring up the gospel if they brought it up,
Right.
and that sort of thing. And I wasn't comfortable with either of those, and I couldn't quite figure out why, because there weren't more examples of how to evangelize in a way that was honoring to God and accurate in its theology and so
Right.
on. So fortunately, I was helped by books like J.I. Packer's book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, which was published way back in 1960 and still being published by InterVarsity,
Okay.
a small paperback book, which has had quite a good influence on me and others. So that's how I got into it. The more I and it calls me to reevaluate my own testimony, how I presented my own testimony as to when I became a Christian, and so on. So
And at that time you were working in campus ministry, is that right?
yes,
So,
I went after I went finished college and went to seminary. I went into campus ministry full time, and interesting enough, we're doing this interview in 2015, which is my 50th year in campus ministry. If
wow.
this was
So
the right,
you wow. You haven't retired
yeah,
yet?
not yet. No, it's not in my vocabulary.
Well, yeah, I
So this
don't.
has been a great journey for me, but I've really, I mean, I also pastored a church for a short reason, of course, been involved in churches and so on.
Okay.
But I've really been helped by the just staying in that area of campus ministry and trying all sorts of different things.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely when you have that many years in one ministry, that's just a lot of experience that very few people will ever be able to have that much experience in one ministry. So that's amazing. One of the I mean, there's so much in your book, obviously we can't talk about it all, but one of the things that you brought up there was talk a little bit about the difference between, let's say, sharing your testimony as, this is what happened to me and when I came to faith, and witnessing. You talk a bit about how that's part of witnessing, but it's not all of witnessing. And I think that's an important concept because sometimes when we
Yes.
say witnessing, I think that sometimes people just think, oh, that means I just have to tell about how I got saved. Maybe you can
Right.
just have some comments on that, explain that a little bit, some of the difference and how that works together.
Yes. The we want to talk about our understanding of what God has done to us, but often by the time we finish a testimony that centers on what God has done for us and in us and change, it's a wonderful story. And but sometimes we learn more about the person who's doing that testimony than we do about God and what he's really doing and who he is. There's such a misconception, misunderstanding of God. People use the term God and they talk about God, but they mean something completely different than we do as when we talk about the biblical God.
Right, right. So you see that as, but that is a vital part, or how do you see that as fitting into preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel with someone, sharing your own personal, let's say, faith journey? How does that fit in?
Well, I think what it does is, I mean, you know, Paul gives his testimony about falling off his horse, whatever
right.
he was riding, and he brings this up in different situations, but he always goes on to explain the broader picture behind it, of the sovereignty of God working in his life to draw him to the Lord. So I'm not against people giving testimonies. I just think that they can be attract a lot of attention, be very powerful, and so on. But don't leave out explaining certain aspect, certain understanding of who God is, and of His love and His care and His concern, and how this applies to the people that are listening.
Yeah, and I think, because honestly, I'd never really thought about that so much as when I read your book, looking at that a little bit. That if you think about the New Testament, you're right, Paul did share, or at least let's say the author of Acts shared about, mm-hmm. you know, Paul. Well, Paul did also in some of his letters, he shared mm-hmm. a little bit of his testimony and things too, that's true. But then if you think of some of the sermons of some of the apostles, like Peter on the day of Pentecost, they really focused more on who is Jesus Christ? What has he done? There are sometimes where they would put in a little bit of their own life, but they really did focus more on those things. And I think, it depends on your situation, but part of it is, you know, what are we focusing on? Are we just focusing on that God can, you know, that you can have a better life? Or are we focusing on the God who's actually doing all this?
Yeah, that's a good way of distinguishing that, of explaining that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that kind of popped out to me too, going through your book, is you talk about this coming home diagram, and I think it's a good way to sort of keep the whole message of the gospel sort of in our heads. And maybe you could just give sort of a quick overview of the coming home diagram and how that works.
Yes. Well, when I after I'd been doing evangelism for quite a while among students and family members and others and so on, I realized that I had a lot of material here, and maybe I should try to put it together in a book. So that's how it came about. I didn't start out to write a book. I was
right.
doing this for quite a while, and then decided to put it together. And then I researched or picked up a lot of tracts or a lot of books about evangelism, and saw what people used. And I really felt that by starting with who God is, and as our Creator,
mm-hmm.
and then going from that to the fact that he has a plan for us, and that he, in my book I call it, there's two roads. There's the road that God has made, a one-way road to heaven, and then there's the road that we get off of that road into another road that leads away from God,
Right.
and even to, it can even lead to hell. So I wanted to have a as biblically based as I could, but use some contemporary language and terms, and this idea of coming home to God. And in that, I use this example of a recluse who lives in the woods and doesn't pay attention to anybody and boards up his house and so on.
Uh-huh.
But then he keeps hearing this voice, this soft voice, come home, come home. But he keeps resisting. And then after resisting for a while, he can't stand it any longer. And he takes the lock off his door and he takes the boards off of the window and he rushes out and he says, I'm coming. And what has actually happened is that he was so uncomfortable in his home, after a while he thought somebody had turned up the heat in the basement. And of course that is the Holy Spirit. He turns up the heat,
right?
And we run out and we come to a loving and caring God that begins to change us from the inside out. And it's not just our, we gain the insight later that it was God who was at work all the time, even from before the foundation of the world, you know, in our lives and choosing us and so on. And it gives them a much more solid ground and basis for assurance, I think.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture, and I do like that it starts with God, because I think that one of the problems that we've noticed in some evangelism approaches is that they start at different points, and it depends on how much the person knows that you're evangelizing. Maybe they already have a well-developed mm-hmm. concept of God, but they don't have a well-developed concept of, let's say, Jesus' death and his sacrifice and his resurrection, so you want to start there. But there's so many people today that just don't even have a well-developed concept of God. And it just seems like more often than not, you really have to go back to that foundational truth of who God is. Because when people don't have that, then trying to explain to them what salvation is and stuff, it's sort of meaningless. It doesn't have a foundation.
Yes, and I was looking for a universal starting point, whether they're, no matter what culture they're from or what country they're from and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize that this starting with God and who he is was key. And of course, that means you get into creation. You talked about, you know, a chronological approach to the gospel. And I was thinking, oh my, you're just going to get arguments about evolution and so on, but I haven't really found that.
Uh-huh.
I found that starting with a definition of God and clarifying the difference between a biblical God and other various views to help people see that. And in the book, I even try to say, well, why don't you, to the non-Christian, why don't we call yours the marshmallow God, sort of soft and tolerant of everything, and I'll just call mine the biblical God to try to clarify that. So that whole idea of home, I think, is repeated in Scripture in various ways, coming
sure.
to Christ as a person, but also coming to what you were made for, the kind of a home and a family, God's family, that you are made for.
Right, right. Well, you know, and I think it's interesting what you say about evolution and let's say atheism, those people, because what I've noticed in our experience, and I think even as you think about the world today, whereas, let's say, 30 years ago, that was a really, really big issue that you had to deal with almost every person. But in so many countries in the world now, they're becoming more religious. And so,
mm-hmm.
like here in Ukraine, where even, let's say, 30 years ago, Ukraine was a officially a atheist country. Well, today, if you 80, 90% of the people claim to believe in God. Of course, it's maybe their understanding of God is messed up. They don't understand salvation and things, but they are becoming more religious in the sense of having a belief in God. And so it's not that we have to prove that God exists. Many, almost everyone we talk to, at least agrees with us on that point. But starting with God and saying, "Do you have a right concept of God?" That's really important. Well, let me ask you another question here. As you think about evangelism in, let's say, in the West, as it is today, what do you think that currently is one of the biggest problems in the church's understanding of what evangelism is? What's one or two of the biggest problems that you've noticed in, say, in the last 5, 10 years in churches?
Well, this is not only in churches, but in the culture in general. The churches have been affected by the culture, and that is the idea of tolerance.
Right.
The definition of tolerance has changed, but it hasn't. It's still in, like if you're reading the dictionaries and what it says about tolerance. It's toleration of what is not actually approved, forbearance. But now, it means to approve. The connotation is that it means to approve all beliefs, lifestyles, to endorse them.
Right.
So this has sort of created a situation when we're almost muzzled like a dog that you want to keep from barking, and we have a hard time barking because we're muzzled. Because the gospel how can I put it? We run against this idea that, well, you must be a bigot then, you must be very dogmatic, and so on. And
well, because no matter how you put it, if you are to communicate the gospel correctly, it will condemn other beliefs.
Yes. And just a word here, it doesn't mean that every single little thing in other beliefs is completely sinful and wrong. You may acknowledge a few things here and there, and God is amazing the way he's left clues and evidence of himself, even in some of these distorted ways, distorted religions and things. But the only real evidence, and that's completely correct and so on, is in the scriptures.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, and that's something that we see coming into Ukraine more and more too. But it's definitely the idea of tolerance, as you explained it, of you have to approve of other people's lifestyles and beliefs, is something that is growing in Ukraine, but it's not nearly as developed as it is in North America right now, and maybe Western Europe. So that's definitely a difficulty. And as far as evangelism methods, is there anything out there right now that kind of concerns you, that you look at it and think, boy, I'm not sure if that is a really good way for the church, or that is a good method for the church to be using right now?
Well, any message of the gospel that leaves out the idea of suffering as part of the gospel, and the lordship of Christ as central to the gospel, is not going to be really, really helpful to people. Just to emphasize the benefits of the gospel. Is presenting half truths, and that can end up being a whole, being an untruth. You know, when it's just emphasizing the half truths. You know, when you want to be mean and be so concerned about being accurate with the gospel that we forget how to express clearly to people that God is love and caring for them.
Right.
But there's an expiration date, time for you to respond. There's examples of that in the different parables. The virgins that went out to meet Christ and so on, you know, to go to the
right.
feast. They didn't have enough oil and so on. They weren't prepared and so on, and the door was shut. So
there's both an urgency to it as well as there is a, what you're saying is I think probably what is often called the prosperity gospel or something like that that
yeah.
would just
yeah.
emphasize the wonderful parts of it that we seem to enjoy right now, but definitely go real light on any kind of suffering or things like that. Yeah, yeah, that's something too. I mean, it's amazing what we've been watching happen here in Ukraine, where Ukraine is really, religiously speaking, a very free country, and Christians have not experienced persecution since the fall of the Soviet Union. And so the suffering, because you're a Christian, has just not been existent for the last, what is it, almost 25 years now. But that all just changed just, you know, a year ago when this war started, and now those churches that are in that war zone, they're definitely, it's just a completely different situation. Those things can change quick. And it's just, I think, especially for the Western church, it's easy to forget about those things because for so long it's been in a climate that was very positive to the gospel, but obviously those are things are changing in North America as well too. So, well, listen, I have one last question for you if you have time.
Go ahead.
What kind of advice would you give somebody that, say, a Christian who's never really shared the gospel before, is apprehensive about it, has some fear? How do they start? Where do they go? What kind of advice would you give a person like that?
Well, you've talked about most Christians that way.
Okay.
There is a fear there of offending people and you know, being thought of as just a bigot and so on. And I think the advice I would give is, first of all, to get a big view of who God is.
Okay.
And this is why I emphasize 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9, where it talks about, makes a distinction between our responsibility and God's prerogative, what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out how that helps people is that they've always been told this idea that, well, if you don't lead someone to Christ, you're a failure. And that's not in our proper definition of what evangelism is.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to sow the seed of the gospel and to water it. Once the person experiences true worship and who God is, that's why worship is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And should be cultivated more. We're starving for examples and experience of true worship. That takes you out of yourself and your fears and so on. Not all the time,
right?
But it has the potential to do that in your life, so that you can make a distinction between what God expects of me in witnessing and come to rejoice in the fact that your job is to get that message across as clearly as you can.
Right.
And water it with your prayers, and water it with your personal concern for that person and things that you do to care for them. And this is our job, and it's up to the Spirit of God to produce the results. So any definition of evangelism that includes the results in it misleading people. The problem is, sometimes you can say, "Oh well, I just done my part," and you don't really, in other words, you can get hardened. You know, well, I just sort of throw the gospel out there and do
To
such a
be,
job
you
as
don't
I
want to come
can.
become apathetic to the result. Right.
Right. So what I often say is that the job that God wants us to do is clear in Scripture, and don't try to take over God's job and what He's doing.
Right.
But don't get hardened and think that, well, I'm just going to wait for God to work or something like that. We should have a holy, HOLY, a
Right.
holy disappointment, but we don't we don't really we have to let this rest in God's hands for the time, His time and His work, but don't use that to be apathetic.
Right. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciated it. Appreciate your book, and hopefully we'll, I don't know. Maybe get it in Russian someday.
That would be interesting. Good. Can I just ask you a couple questions, or is
Sure,
that
sure.
all right? Yes. When I heard somebody from the Ukraine wanted to talk to me about the gospel, I thought, "Oh my God! Yes, I can't refuse this person
Sure.
because you're in a situation there that is, in some places very dangerous, and the things are changing, and people are, what's going to happen? How far is Russia going to go, and so on and."
Yeah, I would say definitely one of the things that we've noticed is that when this all started, which was a little over a year ago, a year and a half ago, and since it all started, there's definitely been more of an openness to the gospel, because people realize that everything they have could, it could be gone within a week or so, or some of the people that we work with, it's already gone because they're refugees, So definitely an openness to the gospel has been one of the results of this.
Yeah, so that's exciting, and you've been there for 8 years, which is a pretty good length of time. So you've really learned a lot about the culture, and now this change has come with the war going on there. And I want to pray for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Caleb, and you have a family?
Yes, my wife is
And
Christina.
his family being in this situation, which is changing, and he's trying to figure out how to best honor you and all of this. And I do pray that you would lead him to people in whom you're at work, so that he may simply tie in with what you're already doing in a person's life. And we do pray for him and his family that you keep them safe. But on the other hand, we know that persecution and problems and suffering can be used by you in a powerful way, and we dare not try to run from it. So continue to work there and have mercy upon the people in Ukraine, and touch the Russian people also, and help them to understand the gospel and not take advantage of others. And as the hatred certainly comes up between the different backgrounds and ethnicities and so on, will you work even through that to show people, to humble people before you? In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.